In a world with custom calls, custom shotguns, and custom shotgun shells, why stop there? Why not custom decoy rigs made to hunt the way you hunt? From the jerk cords for the flooded timbers of Arkansas, to the long line for the diver hunts of the Great Lakes, to the Texas rigs for the crawfish ponds of Louisiana and the rice fields of the Sacramento Valley. At Hebert's Custom Decoy Rigs, LLC, they have the rig for you. From their coated cable to their patent tangle-free monofilament rigs to their endless weight, shapes, and sizes, they have what you're looking for. Find them at www.abearcustomdecoyrigs.com or find them on their Facebook page. Remember, get the rig for the way you hunt. All right, welcome back, everybody, to another show of Flyaway Connections. Like always, my name is Chris. I'm back. I'm here with my buddy Joe and Sharp, and we have a couple of buddies with us. Joe?
Hey, what's going on today? So today, we're just kind of BSing about how our season's going, talking to the guys from DLW, the other guys besides Sharp, and we'll kind of talk about how we're killing in Arkansas, in Louisiana, and not so much in Texas.
Yeah, it's been a tough split. I got my two youngins with me right now, Andy Brewer and Jace McKenzie. It hasn't been a bad first split, but it hasn't been that great. We've been having to work for them. The geese aren't here. I'm disappointed about that. That's for sure.
Yeah, man, it's been all right. Kind of rough. To be honest, man, I haven't even been taking the kayaks. Everywhere I've been going has been walking. So I think that has to do a lot with it. The first time I went, I took a buddy and his girl out. And, I mean, I only got two kayaks. Where I was like, we'll just walk in. I went to the same spot with the buddy the next Sunday. But that first Saturday, man, I should at least had a couple woodies. But, again, well, you know.
Chris, I laughed my ass off when you texted me and Joe in the group message. You're like, well, this is supposed to be a lake here, and you're standing in, like,
desert. In the middle. But, yeah, like,
looked like the surface of the moon.
Yeah, bro, it was crazy. Well, and now everybody has to go to the one lake from the Corps of Engineers. Obviously, they're holding water. And, man, it's like, I don't know, man. You got to be there. You got to stay the night there. It's crazy. But it is what it is. I mean, you got to do what you have to do. But I'm going to go out this weekend. I'm actually going to go hopefully do some farm tank hunts Sunday. My little boy has a Super Bowl this Saturday, and then hunt next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But we'll see what happens, man. And then, Joe, I know you got that split going on.
Nah, my split don't start until Monday. So I got three more. I'm going to hunt Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we'll hit this. Like a week and a half split. But yeah, we've been staying pretty consistent. I mean, I think I've hunted.
Yeah, that rice field is nice.
Yeah, I've hunted opening day till I think I maybe hunted 10 times. And I think I've only scratched once. And that was in an actual private marsh. Oh, didn't see a dang bird. But I've hunted public twice. Killed on public both times, and you know, obviously being in the rice over at Spoonbill's Ventures, you know, we've been for me averaging about 10 to 12 birds a day.
Nice.
Yeah. Sharp, how are y'all doing? I mean, because you guys are a little different. You know, you guys aren't fun hunting like kind of how me and Chris are. You're still guiding right now over there in DLW. How y'all doing up there?
We got one blind that's staying real hot per usual, up on our northern fields, and then everything else is kind of a hit or miss thing. You know, we got a couple other fields that are decent fields that you'll pull some birds out of, but it has been slow. That full moon started to kick in at the end of the split, and we definitely saw the birds starting to feed at night and hit the fields at night. And we're so dry right now. There's no water really on a lot of the fields around here. So everything that does have water on it has a duck blind and decoys. So they're getting pounded every time they go hit the fields in the morning and the afternoon. So kind of put a little shift on the birds. I know we kind of talked about it on that last podcast, but we were absolutely loaded up here with ducks during spec season. And then it got real hot. We lost a bunch of birds. And then we did have some decent numbers of geese towards the end of spec, but right now there are no speckle bellies around. I mean, it's sad to see. It's hurting my heart, that's for sure. A lot of spoonies. Gadwall, a few gadwall around. Usually up here we don't kill very many gadwall, but we're killing a decent amount, and thank God for the green winged teal. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, no shit. Down here, that's probably our number one bird right now. I mean, you guys always hear me complaining about the crawfish fields, but this year, man, thank God for crawfish fields. Dude, they're always in cold water. Holy shit. But yeah, we're low on water as well on public land. Unless you have, like I said, the marshes I have hunted are tidal marshes, which are salt water. So those, you know, those are hit or miss. But I mean, we've been killing them pretty decent in the rice and crawfish farms. And it's been a mix. I mean, there's days where I went and we shot redheads, bluebills, ringnecks, canvasbacks. But 9 times out of 10, it's going to be spoonbills. Green wing teal with a little bit of blue wing still and some gadwall. We've had a couple of days where we had some pintails. Then I had one good day where we shot a few geese. So we've shot snows 2 days and we shot some specks. We had one good day. We got a pretty good shoot of specks, but yeah, we're starting to see a lot of birds getting pushed down here in Louisiana, and they're holding. I mean, they're holding on all these rice and crawfish farms.
Yeah, I think Jace right here, his client's limited on opening weekend. It was pretty cool. He had some boys from Puerto Rico. Jace, you want to tell us about
it? Yeah, tell us about
that. Yo, was an experience. So these guys were – so one was a pharmacist, one was a professor, and the other one was a doctor. And these guys came in, and, I mean, their English was a little broken, I'm not going to lie, but they were really good dudes, had high spirits. And we go into one of our fields we call Normandy, the first to open a day. And, like, I didn't really know how it was going to go down, but sure enough, the spoonies and the teal, they do it dirty. And so we ended up getting our limit up pretty quick. And – with one thing I loved about these guys, every day, it didn't matter if we killed limit, if we killed three or killed four, they would always post up with the Puerto Rican flag right by their kill, and they would do what I call their Puerto Rican screech. They'd just start yelling in celebration when we take pictures of these guys. And dude, it's probably one of the funnest weekends I've ever had with clients. Like, these guys are great, and they're coming back next year.
Hold on, give them a demonstration. He's got to do a demonstration.
Oh, dude, they sit there and go, and it was one of the things I've ever experienced. I still have my flag they gave me as one of my, like, part of my tip. It's still in my truck. And so, like, throughout the year, every picture I take with a pile of birds, I'm putting that flag with it.
Hey, so it's funny, like, do you speak any Spanish whatsoever?
I mean, only cuss words.
But it's like Inglourious Basterds. Like, hey, he speaks the third best Italian. Sorry, I don't speak Italian at all. I know, we said third best.
I know if they call me a gringo, I know what they're talking about, you know?
That's fun. Now, were they able to fly over with all their own equipment and stuff? Or?
Yeah, because you got to think, it's a denomination, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Of the United States. So.
Yeah, it's U.S. territory.
Yeah, territory. So you don't have to have a passport or anything like that to get over. Yeah. So it's probably pretty easy. Yeah, that's a picture of them right there with the flag.
Nice.
That's funny as shit. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. They're really good guys.
Andy, you got any good stories about opening weekend? You have anything?
Other than it was tough. We had one day we went. And I was telling my clients, it was coming in a storm, and one of them was getting cold. I took a group of 8, and one of them was getting cold at like 9 o'clock. And I was sitting there and I was telling them, I was like, now look here. I was like, when these fronts push in and this rain going to start in, I said, these birds like to start flying around and now try to start getting down in these fields. And everybody wanted to leave. So we get halfway out of the pit. They get go and get the Ranger, and we get everything loaded up. Decoys stay out at the pit or whatever. And they get all the way back down to the dump with the Ranger, and I'm sitting there cleaning the pit out, and all these ducks start coming in and lighting in the decoys with all my clients down there on the end of the dump. And I was sick sitting there watching all these ducks come in the decoys, and I finally talked them into going and sitting back in the pit for a couple more hours. And we only killed like four or five more because right when we got back in the pit, it stopped raining, the wind stopped blowing. They was upset about it watching all them ducks after they decided to leave, go sit right down in the decoys.
That was at 160, Joe.
Nice.
The good old 160. Yeah. We had killed them, dude, after that. I mean, it's been a few days, but that's a goose spot. Like, I'm telling you, the geese have not been around. They're not down there no more either.
During spec season, the damn ducks were in the 160 like no other. I mean, shit, we've probably seen thousands that one day.
The sanctuary got a little thin for a little while, but now it's starting to wrap back up. Like today, when we were driving by, I was like, let's go check it out. And we went and put the binoculars on it, and there was a nice little patch of mallards. I ain't seen them around, so hopefully we get a push. I was looking at the weather up north, kind of, you know, starting in Saskatchewan, going down to the Dakotas, and it doesn't look like there's anything too awful cold. Like, it's still nothing that's going to push a lot of birds. They can, what's on the forecast looks like they'll sit it out and stay. So hopefully we get us a good front next week to push everything, push more birds down before our split starts again. We start up on the 10th.
We'll still be out on our split.
Yeah, because your split is
this Sunday is our last day of hunting.
The 11th, right?
Yeah, I think to the 11th. Some shit like that. I can't complain. Like I said, with all the birds you guys lost, I'm pretty sure we're getting down here in Louisiana. Like I told you guys during goose season, I hope you all are successful as possible. But we need some birds down here, and we've been getting them. I know, you know, they're starting to shoot more snow geese. We're starting to see more snow geese come down, which is huge for us. It's a good thing. You know, we haven't. I've noticed. I have not seen heat in Louisiana at all yet. Is any pool dew?
We killed our first one up here this year. It was the first time I've killed one up here. It had to happen. I've never killed one in the rice field up here, and
For the viewers,
old slosh woman.
Me, Sharp, and Matt, one of the other guys, we kind of, you know, we've been hunting almost every day, and we've been texting back and forth what we're killing and everything. And one day, I think me and Sharp were kind of close on birds. I think we were tied, and Sharp comes up with a picture of a freaking coon and says, "I'm one bird up on you." Get the fuck out of here.
All right.
I'm mad. I am so mad at y'all. Y'all don't realize that is the one bird I do want this year because my goal.
He's never killed one.
I want to get one so bad so I can get a full body mount of a coot with a Marlboro Red in its mouth. I think that'd be the coolest living room piece to have.
Marlboro Red.
Yeah. What's that? The coot decoy that they had, like Leroy or whatever it was, the one that Mojo came out with, the mullet and stuff they had it.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, we get, I mean, I don't, I know some guys that shoot the coots down here. I'm not a big coot shooter.
Wrapping in bacon.
Is Lacking holding water or it's still
dry? Man, I don't even know. To be honest with you, I've only hunted public land twice. And I went to Hackberry one day. And then opening day, I went to middle of the Piney Wood Forest, Engineer Lake. And surprising, dude, because I know you know where Engineer Lake is, Chris.
Yeah.
There's nothing there a duck wants. But I was being lazy and the kids wanted to go hunt. And we ended up killing five birds there. We should have killed a lot more, but dude, we probably had 50, 60 birds come in that day. And it's literally in the middle of a piney. I mean, I knew that in the area that I was going to have water. And it was probably between a 15-minute drive from a bigger lake. So, I mean, we killed some ringnecks, some wood ducks, and a gadwall.
Was it pretty low, though?
A lot more than usual, yeah. I mean,
did you guys set up in all the piney woods, or did you guys like stay in the kayak?
No, there's grass. We just sat in the grass. No, actually, I use my panel. I use a tangle free panel blinds and put it on the edge of the grass.
I know part of it. We sat up last time with bibs over there.
Yeah.
We set up in the piney woods and we didn't see. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. That's crazy you guys killed over there. But if you, like you guys said earlier, man, wherever you got water.
Yeah, that's pretty much the name of the game here is water. And then, like I said, this year I almost didn't want to get back in the rice. And last minute, I ended up purchasing a couple of rice hunts. And yeah, man, I mean, it's obviously been paying off dividends.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, because I know what last year was, what, up and down.
Yeah.
But, so, man, go ahead.
Sharp, you guys. I mean, so I'm gonna pick on Sharp a little bit. Some of these other guys. Yeah, you know, I know for the head guide on opening day, Sharp wasn't hunting at DLWs. Yeah, you know, opening day, Sharp wants to take off, make everyone else work. You know that. Yeah. You know, but how was hunting that? You said usually you have a timber lease, but this year the timber didn't pan out.
Well, I mean, it's just a lease all around. It's got a little patch of timber on it and some like more or less cypress sloughs. You're hunting them in the woods, but you know, everyone knows it's dry as can be. So the lake's dry, and then I found a cool little spot. It's a little slough that's out there, and I picked. So I kind of figured I want to be hunting rice and bean fields for this whole entire daggum season. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to pull some Hail Marys and go do some wild stuff to go kill some greenheads. Because to be honest with you, unless the weather is really good up here, we don't kill very many greenheads. Like they're far and few between. It's a pintail and a speckle belly place up here for sure. That's what we get, the big – and spoonbills. That's our big numbers of birds. And I found this one little spot. I went down on Friday before opening day. I woke up at 4 and left Walnut Ridge and headed down. And it's kind of unfortunately, of course, everyone knows me. I had more side-by-side troubles. transmission went out in my Can-Am and just decided to put a new transmission in it instead of trying to get the part fixed because most of the parts were on back order for 2 to 3 months, and I needed a side-by-side to guide with. So I went down there without a side-by-side, just scouting in truck, riding around, and I found a few fields with a few birds. But same thing, I talked to my farmer down there. The same thing happened to them. It happened to us when spec season came around. Beginning of spec, they were absolutely loaded with ducks. I mean, from the videos I've seen from a lot of people, a lot of places in Arkansas were holding a lot of birds. And then it got into the 80s and they lost all of them. So I found, like I said, I found a few fields of birds, but I found this one little slough that they had. It was like an old rice field that they used to farm, but they kind of just let it turn into moist soil. And the shape of the field is almost like a lollipop, the way they did it. Like there's one big hole at the end of it. And then there's a straight strip from where the tractor came in and kind of bush hogged everything in there. And we were sitting in the bigger part of the hole, and we had a few birds work. I definitely whiffed on a gadwall right at shooting light, like really, really bad. And then we had a few mallards kind of work us, and they would just last minute, they'd kind of drift off. We sailed one hen that we shot at, and I looked for that joker for 25 minutes with Wyatt. Couldn't find her, so went home with nothing. And then the next day, I tried another little spot on the other side of the property that was a little like a more of a cypress slough off the lake, and we busted probably 10, 15 mallards and 10, 15 wood ducks out of it the day before, scouting for deer in this little wheat field that's on the edge of the property. So I was like, let's go try that. At least we'll shoot a bunch of wood ducks. Well, the only thing that came in there was right at light. I had two hooded Magansers land right in front of me, and I was I'm not going to shoot those. And then I had a woody come by and land probably 30 yards on the water. I shot at him. I shot at him. He took off. So I took two skunks opening a weekend. I did shoot a coyote on Friday, though, looking for a spot to deer hunt.
Jason, how'd y'all do opening weekend?
You know, Jace hit the limit, man.
Actually working in guide
shit. Did it dirty, brother. Let me tell you.
Boss Man beat on him real good.
Yeah, I seen Boss Man got him pretty good.
Andy, how did you do up in the day?
Terrible.
I mean, it's been hit or miss, man. We've had, like I said, we got one killing pit, and then we got a few pits where it's either it just hasn't been consistent. Birds.
Hey. As long as Lane Farms prevailing.
Hey, I did. I think my group killed 13 out of Lane one day.
Yeah. But
only a couple specs. The specs still aren't there.
Yeah. It's so weird how everything pushed out.
It's like a lot of shy birds you're having to deal with. Because, like, some groups, you're having to call to them from being a mile high up all the way down to the decoys. And in some groups, if you call them any, like, they're not even turning to look at you. They're just going to beeline right to where they're wanting to go to feed.
I've
even noticed, like, down here, the spoonbills are like that. Like, here, the spoonbills and the gadwall, like, they're just are just pricks. They'll spin on you. It's like the blue wing teal and the green wings are just the dumbest birds we have this year. Like, two peep of the whistles and they're just dive bomb. Like, dude, the other day I let Lane, my middle child Landon. I'm like, you do all the calling, bud, and he just got a little teal call, and anytime he hit the teal call, they would just and they would suck right in. But big ducks are just spin and spin and spin.
They've been weird around here.
They have
been. It's like you'll get the occasional group that'll come in, like, do it like teal do, sit right on the spinner. But a lot of times the bigger group's been acting like diver ducks. Well, they'll come give you that one good pass, but they're going daggum 60 miles an hour.
Fuck Jesus.
Yeah. And you take a shot at them. I mean, they're close. You say, you're like, all right, you know what? We're going to shoot at these because the last group didn't finish. I mean, you got 30 or 40 in the decoy. It's only one drops, but I mean, they're hauling butt. They're moving.
Yeah, you're killing them in single groups.
Singles. A lot of singles. We've been seeing a lot of teal singles coming in. Those do it nasty. Right into the decoys.
Have y'all been killing any divers yet?
I killed two ringnecks at Lane.
Oh, good old
nice.
Yeah, we had one hunt where we killed ringnecks, bluebills, the canvasback, and then the redheads. And then an open day I killed some ringnecks. We don't see the divers coming in the rice this early. It's usually January when we start getting on the rice when we're pumping a lot more water for the crawfish.
Yeah, it's same. We usually see them in January or whenever the rivers start to get out. That's when we start seeing divers around here. Not very many, a few and far between, but you'll start seeing bigger numbers of them once the rivers get out and you get the fields off of them get real deep.
So, Chris, what plans do you have? Texas ain't got a split.
No, man. So I'm gonna hunt. So Sunday I'm gonna hunt dry fields. My son has Super Bowl game this Saturday. But I'll be off next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So that's gonna kind of alleviate all the like public land hunters because they all got to work a 9-to-5. So well, most of them, anyways. I hope, anyways, because one of the big lakes that is holding water. Well, there's two, at least close to me. is Grapevine, Lake Grapevine, and Ray Roberts. But the thing about Lake Grapevine, they only allow a certain amount of numbers to hunt it, and you have to, it's like a lottery system. Yeah. You get picked, hey, you're on it, so you can hunt this lake. So I'm not on it, so I have to drive a little bit further, a little bit, I mean, it's worth it. It's about an hour out north of me, closer to Oklahoma. And Oklahoma, I got a buddy in Oklahoma, I mean, he said they're holding birds, they're killing birds, like it's, so actually I was telling Sharp, I think actually you were dropping the Browns in the Super Bowl, but my buddy was saying that come up there, so I maybe might go to Oklahoma, go do some hunts, but if anything, I'll be hunting Ray Roberts during the week and hopefully, man, pull some birds that not everybody else is trying to pull because, man, it just gets flooded there.
It's been a rough one. I'm hoping we all get more birds in the South. I sound like a record on repeat. I'm ready for the daggum speckle bellies to show up, dashgum. I mean, they haven't been around. I haven't had a good spec beat down since we had that good hunt over at the 160, Joe.
Yeah. Sharp, I wasn't texting you back. Listen, I'm hunting private. They can have on my public spots. There ain't no water there. they can have my public spots this year.
I mean, and it's not a surprise here. If you live in the DFW area, you know where the water is. So, I mean, it's hell. It's all private. I mean, it's all public. So, I mean, you know where the water's at. Everybody's going to go where the water's at, man.
Yeah.
And even I showed y'all pics. Yeah. I showed
it's 20,000
acres. Have
fun.
Yeah.
I was in the middle of the lake. Google Maps says I should be in the middle of the lake. I showed a picture of these guys. It looked like Joe made a comment earlier, but it looked like I was on the moon. But bro, it's just, It's scarce water, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. So,
gear wise, so far for opening, and you know, kind of for everybody, for Andy and Jace, what gear have y'all been using that, you know, that's kind of newer this year that y'all kind of like pretty glad y'all picked up for this duck season?
I'll tell you one thing that I will say Sharp harmed on me to make sure I had. Was a Mojo pick stick. Dude, like, especially having like clients that bring kids, when they get kind of slow and no birds are flying, let them kids get that little pick stick out. They pick up holes all throughout the pit. They had all of their lives picking up. And then, like, when we get slow, I just hand them my lanyard and let them just blow my new spec off from Lifestyle. Them boys had a great time just learning how face painted up, putting dark paint on them, little duck blood on their face, dude. I enjoyed just little kids coming out and experiencing why we're so passionate about what we do. Spending time in the outdoors and just watching birds work, watching their eyes light up. It's probably my favorite thing about the whole thing of what I do.
He Huck Finned him. Like, hey, you want to whitewash this fucking pick up the trash.
I had one kid, his name was Becky. He's a great little kid. He's from Georgia. Dude, he wanted to come move decoys with me. And I was like, I don't care, bro. Like, it'll be a great thing for you to do. Like, just move Mojo's decoys. Little boy stepped two. I promise you, made two steps in the water. Next thing I know, he face plants right into the rice field. But he was a little, I told him he was a duck hunter. He fell in the water, moved decoys, did everything. He was perfect, man. Didn't even get cold. He's a tough little boy. I give him that.
I got Jace's lanyard's hooked up right now. Tell him what you got on there now.
Man, let me tell you, boy. I got that riceless spec call. I got an RM duck call that will hell let him from the heavens.
On the cold weather fan wave now.
Me and Sharp Hunt and Pawpaws together, and dude, I tell you, we sounded right. I mean, right on the money, brother. We talked them down from the heavens.
What riceless are you running?
He's running a 3/4 acrylic.
Nice.
I got it when we were in Little Rock for the Delta Water Fountain.
Yeah, Mr. Bell hooked him up.
Yeah, he hooked me up right, brother. Coming into this season, like, spec calling was a little new thing for me, but then, like, they hooked me and Matt, another guy, up at the convention, and sure enough, last week, we talked down a group of, like, 20 right into the decoys.
Nice.
Slaughter Fest. It may be
nice.
Knew I'd make Sharp and Joe proud.
I'll tell everyone. Mr. Bill is to spec calling what Tim Grounds is a Canada Goose calling. That's my opinion. I'll put it out there. I don't think there's a better call out there besides a Riceland.
I love a Riceland, man. I won't go spec on with that one on the way.
I talk dirty to them. I'll give them that. They talk them dirty.
Andy, what?
I will be getting a Riceland. I just
hey, he's having a sale right now. He just put up some more old schools.
I don't even know. What do you think? I mean, I ain't even hunting nothing new. I don't think. I just stick to the old tactics. I need to get some new motion decoys for when it's slow and there's no wind. Right. That jerk cord that we rigged up.
So on the 160, shout out to A-Bear, custom decoy rigs. He made me – so I tried to make a turkey foot type jerk rig where it'd have one main line and then you'd put two coming off at an angle so that you'd pull. Well, it was just too much. Andy, we messed with that thing for an hour trying to get it to work. So then I went out there with Matt, and Matt had that. He made like a automatic jerk rig, almost like a designated puller. He's a handy son of a gun, man. It's pretty cool what he made. So what we did, we decided it couldn't pull all three. So we put the main jerk line off to the side in the pit so you can just use it as a normal jerk rig. Then we grabbed the two short lines that A-Bear made for me, and we hooked them on that little automatic puller. Oh, it looks good. It'll run those two on the side.
We had ripples all in the spread before the wind ever picked up at the 160 opening day, and the birds was just tough. There just wasn't enough flying for them to even look at it.
It looks good. But speaking about motion, I guess I'll give my my thing on what my new stuff is working. And Joe's going to say, I told you so.
I don't have to say that. I already know it.
I've switched to some Lucky Duck products and I really
No shit.
Man, I got
Lucky Duck. You got the swimmer or
pulsators? Swimmer, one swimmer and pulsators. And all right, the one thing I don't like about the swimmer dies in about an hour. Need to get a remote.
Crazy.
I need to get a remote for it. But the pulsators, they last. They put out a really good splash. They give you more motion than a Higdon. I was using the Higdons, but only one of my Higdons still works from last year. Probably need to send them back, too, so they don't catch our guide house.
What we need to do is we need to
Then I bought my pawn shop fine. I got to use my pawn shop.
Dude, that you know, green pawn shop.
OG lit, son. That's the OG.
It is the OG time, Bobby Shmurda. It is slick, son. Let me tell you.
The what now?
Pawn shop fine.
Oh, shit.
What'd you find?
Working?
Oh, I got it working. It's not ready yet, but I put it together.
Bro, so me and Sharp went out on this epic.
He'll be back.
So this epic, what do you call it?
Basically describe it. It's pretty much like you have a jerk cord, but instead of jerking like a motion of decoys, what you're jerking is wings. And so it's pretty much like it's flapping against the water. And I want to use it so bad.
Chris, we know you'd be good at that.
Exactly.
That's not the first time you've done that to an animal.
Man. That's all it is.
So supposedly, you're supposed to put it in the water. And these little wing things right here.
It's got a water line where you're supposed to put it up to.
This thing is called it's a wing magic decoy by Charles Snap. Hammer time, Charles Snap, which is the good old mayor of Walnut Ridge, Arkansas.
Woo!
Yeah, so we found, didn't you get that for free?
No, I got that one for $10. I got a broken mojo for free.
Yeah, so dude, we were just driving around looking at pawn shops one day after a hunt, and I ended up finding some old school
speedballs.
Yo, let me tell you about that. I wish
speedballs.
Yes.
Hey, Let me tell you about Speedballs. I'm telling you right now, that's the best show I've played.
Let me Sharp, tell them about some Speedball.
Oh, bro, they were number twos.
Well, did they reach out there and get them?
Oh, dude, Joe was like,
you can reach out there and touch these clients we had,
they were winging the crap out of them. And they'd make me and Wyatt go on a quarter mile walk to go get these things. And Joe would just pull up, boom.
That'd be gone. I watched the Speckled Billy Goose get shot with a speedball, and there was no way that you'd have hit it with any other shell.
Dude, what'd you get them
no
for?
No way.
$15? No, $25.
$25 for a box.
For a box. There are 10 shells.
Yeah. And they're not very many.
Holy
shit.
They're for real.
Those things hit.
I used to guide with some people that was on staff with Heavy Shot, and we'd get all the Heavy Shot shells for free. And I got several boxes of them speedballs, and I'd put two regular shells, and then that for that long shot, I'd have a speedball in there at the end. And I'm telling you right now, if you had a way, you could absolutely get rid of him.
You tell them to scramble like an egg before they get folded like an omelet.
I'd fold them like an omelet for that pump browning. I used to use a browning pump, and that thing right there would reach out to
the
touch. Oh, yeah.
You use a VPS? Was it ejected out the bottom?
Yeah, VPS. Yeah.
Them right there will absolutely shoot, will they not?
That's one of Joe's favorite guns.
It is. I'm telling you.
I still use that from time to time.
Alex had his out the other day when he was up here hunting with us.
Yeah. I brought mine just going out for the hunt with Alex. And, it's amazing.
Chris, how heavy
it is.
Joe and that Sharp.
It does not kick at all.
Dude, Joe and Sharp, early spec. Hearing them call like in the A-frames was one of the nastiest things I ever heard. Them just sound like real geese.
The geese thing, though.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, from just like a bystander standpoint, y'all sounded nasty, dude.
I appreciate that.
No one can say we did not work our asses off.
Oh, no. Okay, we had that day where we put 20 in the decoy. What was it, 200 in the decoys?
200 in the decoys.
Yeah. Decoys. Now, the shooting wasn't that great, but, comma.
Barry, cough, cough.
Yeah. Yo, dude, he hasn't hit a – I know he's going to be listening, dude. That dude hasn't shot a duck all week.
Oh. I'm gonna have to give him some shit.
Yeah, he hasn't shot a duck all week. He did it the other day. I limited probably by 7:45. And so I shot my six teal, my bonus McGanser.
Bonus McGanser.
Bro, I was so pissed. So a group of teal come in. I let everyone shoot first. And my buddy Elliot and Barry, they miss. They just whiff. But they're hunting, dude. The thing is, they're shooting like they're on this big Mueller's kick, right? And they're shooting the Mueller UFO. Everyone shoot tight. I mean, they're shooting a golf. We're shooting teal at 10 yards. And they're shooting golf balls and like size shot, pattern at them. So they whiff. I come dump one. Another one. I see another one in the corner of my eye. Kind of scurry off. I dump that one. You know, I go pick up one. Elliot's like, well, damn, that was a good shot. I'll go pick that bird up for you. I'm like, all right. He picks it up, and he just stares at it. I'm like, oh, shit, what the hell?
Would you shoot?
I'm like, I either shot a band or I probably wasn't supposed to shoot that thing. And he comes back. He's like, bud, it's a McGanser. It was a hen McGanser. And I was like, god dang. I absolutely hate McGansers.
Bird around is the hen-hooded McGanser.
Yeah, it's the ugliest thing around. Dude, so I was like, you know what, man? I'll let my dog eat it. Whatever. Indiana wouldn't eat it.
He would eat it.
And he spit it right out. Dude, it smelled like minnows. It smelled like a minnow trap. I made Joey clean it like that. I didn't even clean it. I made my kid clean it.
Yeah, I think I only know one person who's actually ate it.
Dave?
No. Yeah.
Dave love them, though? Dave said he loves them, right?
Oh, no, Dave, you're right, Dave. Two people, Dave. I wasn't gonna say any names, but Joe knows the other one too.
Oh, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Gilbert bit into it and spit it out and gave it to his neighbor.
He said he ate it.
No, he didn't eat the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, I thought he said he ate it.
No, yep. But Dave, oh, yeah. Dave loves with maple syrup, like your damn pancakes.
That's yeah, why I let those two pass. I was like, I'm not shooting them nasty things.
Yeah.
No. I mean, they like it up there in the main area, man. I guess it's, I don't know, fishy taste. I don't know what it is, but they, I mean, marinated maple syrup and.
Like,
dude, I'll tell you, gear wise for me, it's been nothing. I mean, my Drake waders have probably been are awesome as always. But, dude, shot shells. Boss number sevens, the Stinger Loaves, absolutely love them. Like, that's all I've been shooting from teal season down on at ducks. And then, dude, when I was down in Arkansas guiding, besides those speedballs,
number two.
Dude, number two, 3-inch number two heavy bismuth. Holy crap. I'll go on a limb. I love Boss. Great shot shell. There's a new bismuth round coming out that will be we'll have the owner on the show here pretty soon. You'll see, if you look at our social media, you'll see the company's name. But shit, man, dude, I think Heavy Shot has the best business round on the market for pattern, for kill. I mean, dude, I don't know if it's a choke gun combination with a heavy bismuth, but dude, I absolutely.
What choke are you using?
Have you tried Boss number twos though?
No, the biggest Boss I've shot was the 3-inch number fours.
Yeah,
which I shot the three.
Yeah,
that's what I'm shooting is the mix threes, the threes and fives.
That's what I think
it has something to do with the wad that heavy has.
What choke are you using?
I was using a bouncing back and forth between a Code Black Goose and a Code Black Duck. When I shoot Boss, I just shoot as a regular constriction choke. But with the heavy product, I'll use a Pattern Master.
Yeah, because with the Boss, I'll use the Pattern Master Black Pod choke.
Yeah, that's usually what I'll use.
Yeah,
I got that T2 for my 12 gauge, and I like it.
Yeah, how do you like that?
I like it. It's been shooting pretty good. Honestly, I really haven't been shooting much. Most of the time I shoot is just shooting that stuff going away and shooting at cripples. And boy, does that shooting Boss at cripples.
Yeah. So you know what I bought for cripples?
I might get some steel number sixes.
Rio number sixes.
Yeah. I mean,
just Rio number sixes. I mean, Rio shoots clean. It's not super expensive. And it's not. I don't feel like I'm getting kicked in my dick every time I squeeze that trigger at a spoonbill.
The steel target loads.
Yeah. Like
Winchester target loads.
Yeah, I usually just get the Kent.
Yeah.
Speaking of tools we used, dude, I gotta tell you, Joe, you'll like this. So me and Matt went and hunted one of our buddies' places 150. And you know how we killed the first mallard of the year for like me and him?
Wow.
A widgeon flying over the pit, maybe like 60, 70 yards up. And so all I did was widgeon blow at him with the whistle. Next thing I know, I hear Matt call a shot and we blow up the pit. It's a dang greenhead 10 yards into the decoys.
He just dumped down into the widgeon whistle?
All I did was widgeon whistle at him and he just dive-bombed straight into the spread.
I mean, Sharp talks about it all the time as being different. I mean, you got to think about how often those things are quacked at.
Being said, especially like people highballing them and everything like that, too.
The highballing has been work. The highball on a certain days, on a blue sky day, I've got some birds down from way up there. But it has to be right conditions. And like you just said, I mean, little stuff like that. Like even Dustin told us when he was killing them pretty good. He was just doing like a teal peep on birds, and he was killing them. Teal peep, and hey, I am not afraid to pull out that whistle and just hit them.
In the mornings, down here, the only thing I'll have is a teal whistle or even a little soft teal call.
Yeah, the teal haven't really been eating up. You know, I usually just do that real fast, high pitch, like on my cold weather fan.
Yeah.
It's 50-50 on the teal, if they like it or not this year. That real high pitch, just short and choppy. It's Or single reed.
Best call I got on my lane, my chicken call. That's the best thing I got.
Oh, yeah, dude. Jace could do this thing with his daggum 2B, and it sounds just like a chicken.
A chicken?
Yeah, it's the call I have on my strap.
Yeah. Dude, that dude Vincent, I'll mess his last name up. He blows a lot of Riceland. He'll take one of his Riceland calls, the Riceland duck. It's, you know, just his regular meat call, and he'll make a turkey gobble out of it, a chicken. You know, I'm like, God dang, bro. It sucks because you're about to go on stage with this dude and compete against him. You're like, bro, I'm over here barely making quacking, though. Is this dude's over here making freaking chicken and damn turkey gobbles?
Jason's going to give you his little...
You're right. Shit. You're not ready for this, Joe. You ready?
Dude, is that what is that?
That's the RM, baby.
Oh, the little 410?
No, he's got a cold weather fan.
Cold weather fan?
And Army Green.
Nice.
Yeah.
Shut up, Stump, man.
Stump hooked me up, bro.
RM calls. They had a good... I think they had 22 guys up there, Worlds, blowing a Trinity. I think Seth got what? Fifth?
Second runner up.
So you got third. And shout out Stump, man. He makes a heck of a call. I've been telling everybody, man, if you want a good duck call on your lander, get a RM. You ain't gonna
get a Rice. I mean, not a Rice. Well, Rice makes a good call for specs and duck.
And
duck. But get a cold weather fan. I mean, you cannot go wrong with a cold weather fan. Even this year. So this year, I've been switching it up. I've hunted Forrest Carvajal's calls. I've hunted Riceland calls this year. I just kind of, you know, for the viewers, we're having this, you know, next, starting in January, we're having different call makers come on the show, you know, talk about their calls. And so I've kind of been, since, you know, some people say I have a few calls on the show. I've been mixing it up with different calls I've been hunting. I've been hunting with a cut down more. I've been hunting with that that Rockin' R. I like that Rockin' R.
I am so glad we made that trade this summer because I love that 2B.
Yeah.
I am in love with it. I got it sounding so good.
2B is nasty, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason's little 2B wave.
Dude, 2Bs, one reason why I love them is because just the way I blow a duck call, the way I have for years, I love the sound of a raspy hen. I just feel like you sound old. You sound mature. You sound like a bird that's been around for a while. And so that's something that a wild duck will trust, you know. Like, when you hear that raspy hen hollering down in that field or in the timber, like, that's something that you're going to want to go down and feed with, you know. And so them two things, man, they do the job done, right?
That's my favorite sounds, that old boss hen.
Oh, trust me, Joe. I know.
But hey, if you look at Sharp, I hooked Sharp up on that call. As he showed you the tone board.
Oh, dude, I'm so jealous. I am so jealous.
You did. I was like, I can't believe you asked me to do that trade. I was like, absolutely.
Dude, I got good. Dude, I did pretty good on the calls this year. I got two custom spec calls that I got for next to nothing.
Oh, let's see. I almost killed Joe this spec season. Well, and then Joe almost killed me. But Joe was trying to hunt his African blackwood in the pouring down rain.
No, I did. No, it was a maple, the maple blur. Yeah.
Well, Joe, if you can find another 2B like that, it'd be very appreciated. I'm just saying.
He's very appreciated.
It's a one of 250 I got.
Find me number two, brother. I'll blow it just like you do.
Yeah, I was definitely, dude, I didn't even know I was getting that one until I got it in the mail. And, dude, I got that thing for next, I think I got it for less than $100.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And then I popped it open because whatever someone's blowing, whatever they read, I'm throwing it away because I blow a heavy reed. And I looked at the bill, I'm like, one of 250. I was like, not too bad.
Not too bad. Yo, so this season so far, what do you got going on coming up for you, Joe?
I'm going to finish this season out doing fun hunts. It'll open back up. I'll guide some vow and honor hunts, probably all of December, and mixing with some a couple fun hunts. And then really after the New Year's, nothing really much. And then I'll probably do a few public land hunts and then got to go back to my regular job. And I think I've been pretty much by the second week of January, I won't hunt at all until I go back up to Arkansas with y'all to go hunt the.
Yeah, hopefully I can make it this season.
Yeah, I hope you don't freaking lawn dart your car somewhere.
Hey, you just need to get a rental car. Yes, sir.
I need to get a rental car wrapped in bubble wrap.
Bro, if I get a rental car, it's going to lawn dart too.
Chris has tried to come up here like the past 2 years and something's
always. Something always happened. But I'm going to go this time. I'll fucking walk that shit.
Yeah. But right. Are you going to try to go back and kill a crane?
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do Sunday. I'm going to go up there Sunday. I guess they're starting to get birds. They're starting to push. I guess they're having, there's some things with cranes coming down too. But they're starting to push. And he's been posting pictures of them killing them. Man, I just want to kill someone.
Oh, so check this out. So talking about random ass stuff about for this next coming up season, I'm thinking about doing it this weekend before the season comes out. So I had a farmer get a hold of me. He grows winter rye. He had a group of Egyptian geese come up into his field.
Real? Do what?
Yeah. So he took, really? He showed these pictures. He's like, yo, what are these funny looking geese coming into my my field? Because sometimes you'll get the local Canadas coming in, and you know, we can only shoot one, but I'll take the kids over there and we'll shoot a couple to just get them off his property.
Bro, that's an invasive. I'm pretty sure you could hit him with a 22, like legally. I feel like invasives you can take.
I've looked into it. It said you can kill them. I'll kind of feel bad if they're someone's pets. But I was like, yo, I'm going to go there with binoculars and look for bands.
They're not going to ban those.
If they're someone's pet, they will. You best believe if it's like pet of freaking Susie Lou, you best believe that band's going on my freaking.
Isn't that like invasive? Because I've seen like a Python Cowboy and stuff down in Florida. He shoots them with the pellet guns.
Yeah, I mean.
Cover slick, so.
I know they didn't migrate over here from Egypt. From Africa,
yeah, I'm definitely an invasive goose. I think you can do. I don't think there's a.
I wonder how they eat.
Don't quote me on this. Like we said, don't quote us on these things on the podcast. But I think that's
I've looked into it. They're not federally regulated. They're in the same category as a Eurasian collared dove.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know if I go shoot it, what should I do with it? There's about four or five. I was thinking about mounting it, maybe.
Bro, that's a conversation piece.
Yeah,
dude, put that thing in your living room, man.
Right next to my blue goose.
Exactly.
Just tucked up right next to the blue goose. I think that's what I'm gonna do.
If you can get on one, dude, I'd definitely mount it.
I think I might go do that Thursday. Dude, but then I kind of want to eat one. I wonder how they taste.
I mean, it probably tastes like goose.
Key to the
same thing.
Say, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's somebody, well, dude, I'm so hoping that they're banded. Like, when someone's like, there was a, what do you call it? Someone, I don't know if you see on the internet, someone killed a, it was a farm duck. The band on the head. That was my pet, you prick.
Yeah. That was my pet,
you Yeah, prick. It was, you killed my pet, you dick.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I put it out. That band's going on my lanyard. If I shoot that band's going on my lanyard. For Jason Andy, have y'all heard Tim's story about the little kid with the band?
The fat boy that took
his band. Oh, yeah, that's a funny story.
That is my favorite story of all time.
I want to get him to tell that one. See, a little fat kid was on the bench eating a biscuit.
Dad, tell us about that band. Daddy, you tell him.
Joe. So, bro, I have been hunting. I will say I have been a strong duck hunter for 16 years. And last year, we were working a bird, it was a slow afternoon. We didn't see anything fly, and we had one bird that just came in and did it dirty a few minutes before shooting light. The guy that was with me shoots twice, misses the bird, and I have one shell on the gun, and I shoot, and I fold the bird. And so I told the boy, I said, hey, go ahead and pick that bird up and let me know what it is. And so I'm picking up decoys, and I hear the guy yell out to me in the spread. He's like, I'm not sure exactly what this is, but I think it's a black duck. And so I go running through the spread, and sure enough, it is a fully plumed
black
duck.
That's crazy.
Dude, down it? Stations are where I was at. He was a club member, so he got to claim the bird, and he got it mounted. Dude, I was like heartbroken, like I was in high school, man.
Damn.
I'm taking that bird home with me.
And I've actually gone to Maine to try to get black ducks. I don't even want to talk about that. And
Ganders.
We got McGanders though.
Hey man, the hooded McGundies, baby. I will honestly say the hen McGander is one of the ugliest ducks I have ever had eyes
it's
on.
Not even. Yeah,
it's an alien.
Dude, when I picked that one up and I looked down, like, God dang.
Bro, I would have grabbed that black duck and I would have ran.
They're a separate bag limit from your duck.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, that's why I said I shot my bonus McGander.
Yeah. Well,
dude, that's Sharp's a good dude. I'll tell you what, Sharp's a good guide. Because there's a couple bands Sharp could have gotten last year that he handed out free candy to some clients.
That's crazy, man. Like, yeah, that black duck.
When there's big ducks around, like, I always let my clients shoot. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not the guy that pulls up and shoots clients' birds, because that's illegal. But if there's big ducks around that I want to eat, I'll throw up and shoot my one pintail a day. You know, I'm going to take him home and put him in the pot. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And I always ask my clients, too, if it's okay if I shoot with them. And I did hit one, and it got claimed. It was abandoned, too. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. But I guess, Joe, Sharp, do y'all have anything else, man?
Nah, man.
No, I'm good. I'm about to. I'm sick as hell. I'm going to go blow my nose real quick.
Yeah, he opened up. Yo, that dude, let me tell you all, gentlemen. I've known Sharp for a while. He's sick. Dude, that dude's always sick. I think he has either sickle cell or AIDS.
It's something. Like, I understand, like, when the wind comes out of the north, you know, the temperature drops a little bit, we all get kind of sick. But, dude, Sharp's sick as a dog, brother.
Yeah, he's always sick. The first time we were in Arkansas for Delta.
Oh, that was Delta a stomach thing. My stomach was messed up then.
Oh, yeah, your stomach was messed up that day.
Yeah. That was funny.
But,
yeah, man, dude, Arkansas was fun this year for spec season.
It was. We had a good time. We definitely worked hard. We had a lot of happy clients, met a lot of good people.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Met a lot of good people, man. I can't thank everyone enough that came out and hunted with us so far. Like, I don't have a single complaint about a single group. Dustin's done a great job about, you know, really making a blacklist and really knowing, like, who and who not to bring out on hunts. You know, I don't have a complaint about anybody. Everyone's been great and happy to have anybody back that we've had so far.
Dude, I mean, like what Sharp's saying, first split, I mean, yeah, it's been tough because, I mean, you're going to wang on in the first couple of days. And it's going to get kind of slow because the birds are going to realize, like, it's Armageddon out there.
Yeah, we didn't get new birds.
Like, no new birds. You're having to hunt the birds that have been around. But, dude, the people that have been around us and have been, around the hunt, they know how it goes. They've just been good, like, good support, good emotions. Like, it's just been a happy environment all around. I mean, for what's been going on, dude, you can't be thankful enough for the first 8 days of the season, man. I'm ready for these 2 weeks to be over, dude.
Shout out to Tim. Yeah.
Shout out to Tim.
Shout out to freaking
legend.
Yeah, dude.
He's been doing the thing, brother.
He's the legend, man. I've had just as much fun hunting as I had hanging out in his house and cooking for everybody. Like, we've had such a good time. We've had some cornhole tournaments over there. We've had pool tournaments, you know, watching football, turning on the stereo, playing music, cooking out in the garage. It's just been a good time, man. Even though
the Tim's a great guy.
I haven't been up, man. It's just been an all around great experience up here.
I mean, how much did you feel that guide's how much leftovers y'all been taking?
Dude,
it's still the fridge is
the full. Fridge is so full. Sharp can't say no. So leftovers, we can't even finish before we have new leftovers.
I had
over.
To say no at Thanksgiving. He tried to give us stuff.
Dude,
at Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh, it was a lot of food
with a whole turkey.
Yeah,
like, can't do it.
We ate a whole turkey there, and he was trying to send us home with more. And we're like, bro,
another whole turkey. Can't.
Dude, what was it? He was talking about doing three or four turkeys.
We did four.
Gosh,
we did four turkeys and three hams. And we froze two of the turkeys, so we're going to reheat them for Christmas.
Nice.
Well, Joe, you got nothing else?
Nah, bros, I ain't got nothing else, man.
Yeah, this was a good one, man. It was nice talking to y'all. Hopefully I can make it down there to Arkansas this season. Joe's over there putting bad juju again. we'll see what happens. Hopefully we get some, y'all get some more fun hunts. Y'all split ends here. Joe's about to start his and we'll get it done, get the work done. But, like always, y'all have a good one, and let Valentine out.